team leaders who understand the five stages and what transpires at each stage do a better job of helping their team move through that. They expect that to happen, and they can work with their team to move through those, to get back to where they were previously.
And I want to talk more about leadership, but let's go through the five stages here for folks. Stage number one is forming the team.
Exactly. And that takes place when the team first meets each other. And during that stage, it's best if they have the time to really get to know each other, sharing information about their backgrounds, their interests, their experience. They need to form an impression of each other and start to get comfortable.
You sort of describe it as feeling each other out, understanding what's and it seems these days in this social media age, it might even be more than just work stuff. It may be sharing, okay, I have kids or those kinds of things. So all of a sudden people feel more connected to people, each other in some way.
Exactly. And during this first stage as a team leader, you really want to spend some time letting them get to know each other and having some activities to help them do that. And some of those activities are sharing some personal information.
And when you say having activities around this, is this like, I remember the old thing where you'd fall back in somebody to build trust. You'd fall back into their arms. Is it that kind of stuff we're talking about?
That kind of stuff. I've done team games where they have to work in teams to build something out of a set of Legos. You might do some brainstorming activities for them, give them something completely unrelated to the project they're going to work on and have them brainstorm it together. Maybe it's shared storytelling. Someone starts to tell a story, the next person picks it up.
Excellent.
Anything to just get them comfortable with each other and having fun.
And stage two you call storming. What is storming?
Yep. Storming is, especially a team that has never worked together before, they go through this. Each one is competing, team members start competing for status on the team and acceptance of their ideas. They want to come out as kind of strong members of the team. They have different opinions on what should be done. They don't really quite trust each other yet because they don't fully know each other yet. So they're sort of getting to the stage where they learn how to work together. They learn how to solve problems together. They learn how to share and come to consensus. That's the storming stage.
And
every team goes through it.
And part of this is understanding, is building that communications. How are you gonna communicate and then ensure that you're effective?
Yes. Yep. So during the first stage, when they're starting to get to know each other, you start putting some team norms together, how we're going to work together, how we're going to make decisions, how we're going to resolve conflicts. And you really have to help them abide by those team norms during this stage as the team leader.
Stage three is called norming. What is norming?
Yes. Norming is when they start to work more effectively as a team. They still have some issues together, but they respect each other's opinions. They value the differences they have on that team. They use those differences to come to agreement, to make decisions. They've agreed on their team rules for working together, and they start to more effectively share information and resolve team conflict that comes up. They start to trust each other, basically, and they'll seek each other out for assistance. So you don't feel in this point that I have to be, you know, I can't trust anyone. I have to make the decisions. I can't rely on anyone else. They start to come together a little bit more.
All the building that you did all of a sudden starts to pay off. Things become normalized in essence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stage four is performing.
Yes, and it's also referred to as high performing. And the reason why is not every team makes it to that level. Some stop at norming, the stage three, and that's okay. But when they're at stage four, performing or highly performing, they have absolutely no oversight is needed. They've become very interdependent on each other, and they are very highly motivated to get the job done, and the job being working towards a common goal. Mm. They make decisions, problem solve very quickly. If they disagree, they work through it quickly and come to consensus. And again, not every team will get to this stage, and that's okay. If they're at the norming stage, that's all right.
But this seems to be one of those areas we hopefully everyone's been on the, and you say, oh, we're just all clicking, things all working together, all focused on the same direction. You know your mission. You know how what everyone's role is. You have people you trust in order to get it done.
Yes.
It's those kinds of things that... That's a great place to be, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah.
And stage five.
And the longer a project is, the more likely you can get up to stage four.
Yeah. Stage five is called journeying, right?
Yes, yep. And that is when, and you know, and sometimes you see just the four stages. You don't always see stage five, but stage five is the project comes to an end. The team members are now moving off. They're working on different projects. They're moving in different directions. And this stage looks at the perspective of the well-being of the stage. You're not really managing the team here as a team lead, but you're helping them celebrate the success of the project, how well they work together. And something that's sometimes happening during stage five, especially if the team made it to stage four, is that there's a bit of a sadness that's separating. At stage four, they become so, so close-knit that when they move away and they become so interdependent, when they move away, it's a loss. And there's a sadness at it.
These have become people who you really come to trust. They become your friends in many ways.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
So out of all this, what role does leadership play? Leadership always seems to be one of those words, you know, oh, we just need more leadership. But this is one of these areas, if you're going to have a good team, it seems like good management, good supervision, good top-level direction really necessary.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's understanding that every team moves through these stages. It's not a reflection on your leadership if they're storming, if they're in a storming stage. But it's helping them. It's having the ability to facilitate the team through each stage and stepping in when you need to step in and letting the team work it out when they need to work it out. So it really does require strong leadership. And the other thing it requires is letting the team make some decisions. Too often team leaders need to control everything.
Yeah.
And they don't want to let the team make decisions. If you don't let the team make decisions, and in some cases fail at those decisions, you never have a very well-performing team.
And in some cases, that can be the role you play is making sure they fail in areas that aren't as mission-critical maybe.
Exactly.
Fail safely, I guess.
That's right. That's right. And get them through it when they do.
Is there when you are in this storming phase, and that seems like the bit more tumultuous phase, are there ways that you can ease if you have somebody who comes up and says, we are just not getting along? How do you deal with those situations?
You might want to step back, and I've had cases like that. You might want to step back with the team and go back to doing a couple team building activities. You, depending on if it's just two people on a team, you might want to have kind of a small group meeting with those two people to help them work out their differences. Sometimes I do find that stepping in and talking to one or two members, helping them get back sort of in the fold of the team. And frankly, a lot of times stepping back and doing some more team building activities.
Are there times where you seem to be stuck on storming and almost you can't get into that next phase? You can't become normalized because maybe you go, oh my goodness, the people I put together just, they're not going to bond the way that I need to get to where they're able to perform.
Yes, and so there might be a couple things. If I'm really, really lucky and I can switch up some team members and get some new people on the team, I would do that. But that's so infrequently are you able to do that. So then as a team leader, I am very, very involved. So as we talked about, when you get to stage three and four, you're less involved. You're just oversight at that point as a team leader. If I have a team that just can't get to stage three, that's struggling and they're storming all the time, I am going to be very involved as a team leader. I'm going to be very hands-on, keeping them moving along, stopping the kind of fighting that's going on, making sure everybody's doing what they need to do. I'm going to be much more involved at that point.
And the biggest challenge in this whole team building process is what?
I would say working the team through the stages, and probably there are a couple big challenges. One is trying to fit time before, let's say, a project kicks off and letting the team get time to know each other, which is that stage one. So infrequently, that is so difficult to do. Another big issue is enabling them to work out some issues on their own before you as a team lead step in. That is a challenge. That's a challenge for two reasons. One, because sometimes as a team lead, we just want to take control to get it done.
Right.
And the second problem is sometimes we as a team lead are under such pressure with timelines, we don't really feel comfortable letting people take a little bit of time to work out their differences.
In this tough economic times, does that make team building more complex? Or does there become that camaraderie ship? We're all in this, and we're thank God we have a job, and so we marshal forward.
You do see some of that. You definitely see some of that. I think what you're finding more of a challenge with teams today is that we're working so virtually. And that becomes a challenge in really getting to know people.
Yeah.
You can't always do face-to-face. So I'll give you one quick example. If I have a virtual global team, and if by some miracle I can actually get them all together, just for one day, from no matter what location they're in, I will always do that. If I can't do that, I'll use video conferencing, just so we can at least see each other
right.
and try to get to know each other. But that's probably where it's much more difficult.